Hello, everyone. Welcome to Financeology 101. Class is now in session. The information provided during this podcast is just that, information. You will need to do further research to address your specific situation. Enjoy the session. Welcome, everyone, to another session of Gifted Generations Presents Financeology 101. I'm one of your hosts, Robin Seegers.
And I'm your other host, Elroy Seegers.
So today we have a special guest here. And this session is going to be talking about her journey to financial freedom.
Whoop, whoop.
Where she started from and where she, and we'll have two parts. The first part will be where she started from, and the second part, y'all will hear where she is today.
So quick question. Give them a taste of where are you right now mentally? How do you feel about your process? How do you feel about where you are financially right now?
Well, I would definitely say I'm in a place where I feel that I'm at a place of peace. And I can say that I've never felt like that before as far as when it's come to my financial security. You always hear people talking about financial freedom, so to speak, and being, free from worry or free from debt. And I don't know if necessarily, if it will ever be free from debt. You probably will always owe something to someone. But just, I don't think I've ever been in a place before where I've just felt where I've never had to worry so much about my next, financial decision or, where I was going to be financially or have doubts about my future. And so I definitely can say I'm at a place where I'm at peace where I am with my finances, and I don't think I've ever been in a space like that before.
That's powerful.
And I was just going to say, you did that. I was going to say, and now you're exhaling because you've been holding your breath all this time. Now you're exhaling.
So
that's awesome.
Who was the individual company to help you out?
Let me see. yes, that would be these two people I'm sitting here with today, Elroy and Robin Seegers.
Gifted Generation LLC.
Yes, indeed.
So it's going to be an emotional journey, and we ain't with you. I always told you, one thing I always told you, I said, this is something that we're doing. I never said you. I said, we. Where are we now? Because I want you to always have a partner in this process. So let's start back. How did your process from the beginning, not from birth. I'm just saying where you felt like
I need help.
Yeah, I need help,
Well, actually, you said not from birth, but I actually do want to kind of just go a little bit back.
Okay, that's fine. Let's do that.
Because a lot of people, some people might have been brought up in households where they were given the tools to, learn how to save and, be good with their finances. And it's unfortunate in the Black community, we aren't taught that a lot.
Amen.
And so I will say that I did grow up in a household where I did live with a, single mother. And, she did what she had to do, to make ends meet. And so, shout out to my mom. So, she did what she had to do to make ends meet. But I don't think, but there was never a place
to teach,
those lessons of how to save money, because she was just doing all she could do to, put food on the table.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so when you don't, when you're not necessarily taught those lessons, I think you just go through life just kind of, learning as you go and, making it happen as you go. And so I think that with me, I just kind of, just went through life just kind of, picking up pieces as I went along. And, I said we didn't want for anything, but, we didn't necessarily, have, the mindset or the mind savvy to learn how to, save and put ahead for the future. And then, I went to college, and unfortunately, I was able to had a sustained a academic scholarship to school, so I didn't have any college loans, and then I went straight to the military. So
what
I
was
the Army.
There you go.
Okay, no,
shout out
to the Army. nothing against the Air Force there. But, So I was, you know, able to go into the military. And even then, you know, I had didn't have to necessarily worry about my finances so much. But then I got to a point where money wasn't a problem for me. You know, I was a major in the Army and I was doing well. And so I was single and didn't have any responsibilities. And so I think that's where I got lost.
Okay.
I think, you know, people would even tell me, you live your life, girl, you know, you don't have no kids, you don't have to worry about this. And so I think to a certain extent, I kind of did just live like that. And then I will admit to sometimes family members would rely on me a lot. And I'm the type of person who I don't know how to say no to people. And
that's changed.
Yeah. Whether it be, you know, financial, you know, monetarily, or just people always coming to me and needing advice and wanting to know what, you know, what to do in a certain situation, even though I might not have been physically there, just family just always relying on me to be kind of like that soundboard, that person of reason. And so I think that just the place where I was in military just allowing me, you know, to be able to be in the place where I was able to help, you know, family members. It was a blessing, but at the same time, like I said, I never really, you know, thought about, you know, the cost of, you know, what it would mean in the long run, as far as that's always giving and not having boundaries to say no to people and then not just being, not knowing how to put aside and save for myself.
Wow.
And a lot of times people in the military think, well, I'm in the military, so another check is coming.
Exactly.
So
that sense of security.
Did they teach you, did they give you new tools in the military? Mm-hmm. Like, you know how to?
None. Okay. Wow. So I guess that's the same thing too. So, you know, didn't have any tools as far as along the way of, you know, anyone mentorship of like, you know, hey, you should do this with your money. You know, you're making good money, you know, regardless of what rank I was, captain, lieutenant, major. Like I said, I didn't have any kids, didn't have any dependents. So I was making, you know, good money, but never had anyone to kind of give me those tools or anyone to say that, hey, you are doing good for yourself, but hey, let's think about, you know, putting money aside for a family one day, you know, for your future one day. And so I just did. I lived frivolously. You know, I would spend my money on whatever, on clothes, shoes, whatever I thought would, you know, make me happy at the time.
Okay.
And it's amazing when you said that, and I think a lot of us in the African-American community, the parents live with single moms or a single dad, that they didn't teach us to save because there was nothing to save.
Nothing
so
to save.
What was there to talk about? Mm-hmm. I mean, how can I tell you to save something and I couldn't even show you how to do it? And then when you were saying about your friends saying, girl, live your life, do you. They probably came from the same surrounding that they don't know nothing about saving. Right. So they like, oh, she flowing in it. So girl, do you and have fun. But no one's thinking about tomorrow. And you're not alone, because we were like that. I mean, your story is our story and so many other people's story. You learn as you go.
Okay, Errol. What is that? Not his. Okay.
I'm talking about as far as growing up,
single moms. Yeah.
Right.
And Robin says something very important I want people to know. She says, we didn't have money to save. And in today's society, what you got to really think about is, like, even though I may not have money to save, I still have to manage it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I can have zero, but I still got to manage it, because it's a process of managing it. So when you have that money, you can manage it better.
Right.
You're teaching yourself, I'm at zero, but that's okay. It's not, I'm always going to stay at zero. You don't want to say, I'm at zero, I'm going to do what I want. I come into money, guess what? No matter what you get, you're still going to be at zero, because you've never taught or never used those tools to manage what you have, even when you don't have it. So it's still a managing of your finances.
Right. And if you think about it, if you have nothing, people not think about managing nothing.
Right.
They not think about that. Manage what?
Yeah.
I mean, you still need to have that mindset. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the difference. I may be jumping ahead, but I think that's one of the biggest lessons I learned from you guys, or Errol, is having a plan in place. Because when you, that's the problem, when you don't have a plan, I mean, you know, you're just all scatterbrained. So, you know, that's what the problem is. You're just spending money here and then paying bills here and there and just trying to make ends meet. And you're just kind of out there, you know, not necessarily, you know, with any direction, but just knowing how to manage your money it makes a huge difference. Like you said, you don't necessarily have to have a lot of money,
right?
But knowing how to manage the money that you do have makes a huge difference. And planning for things ahead of time. Okay, I got this. I can't stress that enough. Because I mean, no. Okay, I had this trip. I mean, because things, you know, because I mean, you can live the life that you want to live, and you can do the things that you want to, you know, want to do. If you plan for it, and if you do what you need to do to put those things in place. And that's one of the things I've learned is, okay, yeah, I have this vacation coming up and I have this that I want to do, but okay, so let's see, you know, what I have going on right now and what I can put aside and what, you know, what I need to do to make that happen. It's so surprising when you lay all that out and when you're able to have a plan and process, you can actually see that, yes, all this stuff is achievable when you have, you know, a plan, you know, on how to do it. So
I have a friend that's a financial analyst career and was living paycheck to paycheck. Spending money like, I mean, opening up the wallet and just shuffling through the credit card to see which one to work.
Yeah.
Making extremely good money.
That was
managing somebody else's money, but could not manage their own. And was wondering if they had money to get to work the following week because impulsive buying and impulsive this, because she had no accountability partner. She had no one. She was a single mom. And it always baffled me that you can handle millions or sometimes billions of dollars of a corporation's money, but you live in paycheck. So it's a mindset.
It is.
It's absolutely a mindset.
So I want to reach back a little bit. When you realized you woke up one day and said, this is not good, how low did you sink?
Well, that actually didn't wake up one day.
Seven days
it happened.
This is like deja vu.
This was a process. So to kind of make a long story short, so I ended up leaving the military prematurely to pursue my dream of going to medical school. And so I had intentions of going to medical school and graduating from medical school and then going back in the military and finishing out my times. I left at 17 years, so 3 years shy of retirement. So my goal was to finish medical school and then probably try to come back in and the next rank and probably maybe achieve the rank of colonel and then finish my career out in the military. But however, you know, life had a curveball and so many times, you know, it does. And so the first semester of medical school, I ended up getting sick. I had to have surgery to have my gallbladder removed. And so what happened was because of the time I was solely relying on my federal school loans to pay for everything. You can't have a job in medical school, obviously. So because I had to take medical leave and I wasn't considered a student anymore, I was not able to receive financial aid anymore.
Wow.
Yeah. So then that the money started basically drying up. So I was there and I had to wait for the next semester of school to start the next class. But like I said, I was there with a whole apartment with bills to pay, Mercedes-Benz with a $900 car payment.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy because that I was on the up end. Like I had traded it in and had, you know,
upside down on that.
So anyway, but I was able to afford it though. And I had, you know, Melissa's major money, but now the, I didn't have the school federal loan money coming in because, like I said, I wasn't an active student at the time, so I was not able to get those that money. So just over time, I exhausted, you know, whatever little bit of money I did have in my savings. All that money dried up. I begged and borrowed and pleaded from, like, friends and family. I remember my mom just kept telling me, baby girl, it's time to come home. I just remember she just was like, it's time. You got to give it up. And I just was like, this is not happening to me. This is like, I'm, you know, here, physically here.
At the finish line.
At the finish line. Like, God has allowed me to be able to actualize my dream of being a doctor. I'm here in medical school, you know, almost about to make it happen. And, like, this is how it's going to end. And I'll tell you what, I mean, I don't share this with most people, but I think this got me to almost to rock bottom, and my car got repoed. And you think you see this kind of stuff on TV, like this is like TV type stuff.
Wow.
So I remember I was in lecture hall. So I wasn't, you know, actively a student, but I was still just trying to kind of, you know, keep up my studies and stuff. So I think I was in one of the lecture halls, and I came out and didn't see my car. I was like three pages behind by that point. So you know they was like, come on now, you just ain't gonna keep this car. So I came out the building and was like, now I know I parked my car on that road because I usually park in the same spot. So I just was like, okay. And it didn't click to me until it finally just clicked to me. It's like, wow, they came and got my car. So then I went back inside, and then the guy from the school who's like the security guard, he told me, he was like, yeah, some people came and got that car. And I said, this cannot be happening. So literally, car got repoed, had to have a classmate take me down to the place and, you know, go. Well, I couldn't get my car, but I would get my stuff out of the car and just whatever. And anyway. So yeah, that was that, and so ended up having to file bankruptcy. I just had, it was nowhere else to go at that point. And then the part that just really was the hardest part was having to make the decision that I had to pack up and come home, because it wasn't going to happen. I wasn't going to be able to start the next semester and, you know, start school and, you know, just finish on, because I wasn't even in a place financially to be able to take care of myself. So my stepdad Harold, he got a U-Haul truck, and then he came all the way to Erie, Pennsylvania, and we packed up my household goods, and then we drove back to North Carolina, and we drove home, and you know, made the transition to bringing my stuff into my parents' house. And that was by far the most humbling thing I think I have ever been through in my entire life. Never seeing myself at 40 years old living back at home with my parents. And I mean, you know, and it happens, you know, people, I mean, you know, sometimes people have to go back home and live with their parents, and
it's just for yourself.
You didn't, it's just for myself. Right. You know, where I was always a high achiever. I went straight from high school to college to the military. Just was always a high achiever, excelled and stuff. And I just never saw that for myself. And so, you know, evidently God was trying to get my attention, and He was trying to get it in a big way, and He definitely did get it in a big way, and. So that's what happened. So I found myself there. And like I said, I think the lowest point that I think that I never, ever thought I'd ever see myself again. So that's what brought me to a point where I said, I need help. You know, because obviously I'm not going to be able to dig myself out of this hole by myself. And it wasn't even then. It took some years. I mean, I came home and was still living with my parents about 2 years. And you would think after reaching rock bottom, having to, you know, file for bankruptcy, that would have turned the light on and be like, okay, like something's got to change. Mm-hmm. But I think what happened was the depression set in. Mm-hmm. And for me, when I used to get depressed, my go-to thing was always trying to fill the void or fill the space with something. So shopping items. Or items. Mm-hmm. So even though I might not have had, you know, that much money to spend it on, the little bit I did have, I was spending on stuff, and somehow, some kind of way, even though I had filed bankruptcy, you know, people still give me credit cards. So
bad credit callers.
Right.
So, new credit callers.
And everyone knows, because Lord knows, when he first started the journey with me, and that was the thing too. It took me so long to even just ask for help, because I was like, somebody's going to look at my dad and be like, is this girl serious? Like, you right. seriously, you're right. a grown woman. Right. No, right. like really, you're a grown woman in your 40s. You filed for bankruptcy. You live with your parents. And then you still going to like live like this. You're still going to accrue all this debt, accrue all this stuff that you don't need. So I think that was a big barrier that just took me a long time to get help, because it was the embarrassment of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is just a setup. I mean, God is setting you up for success. Oh, yeah. And you don't realize that.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't realize how powerful your message is. And sometimes when you go through things, me and Rama always say, it's not for
it's
you.
Not.
It's for others to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I know sometimes it's kind of hard to share it, but you're doing it. And I think when people hear it, they can like, I can identify with that.
Mm-hmm.
And they can grow from it. Because there's people out there right now and just like, man, what am I going to do? They're gonna say, okay, that's hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we always live for something to attach ourselves to.
Mm-hmm.
People can say it, but once you can hear it and you say, oh, I can attach myself to that, I can identify with it, and it's real.
Mm-hmm.
Because we always see rich people always overcome stuff, but everyday people like us,
mm-hmm.
it's like, how am I gonna do better when I just leave from paycheck to paycheck?
Right.
Am I right?
Right.
And that's the struggle. You know, sometimes you have the means to do it, but you don't have the mental capacity to manage what you need to get to.
Right. And the other thing people are going to take from this is that God is something our pastor always say, he going to display all your stuff right on front of you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to build your character.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to build you as a person.
I already has.
And it's going to, this podcast, people are going to be like, whoa. They're not going to feel the embarrassment anymore.
Yeah.
They're going to get up and fight for themselves.
Because I wasn't easy.
Like you said, laid it all out there. I mean, because you have to lay it all plain bare. I mean, for someone to help you, you have to be put yourself in a vulnerable state. You have to
I used to Rama all the time. I said, I told Rama, I said, when I first came, I said, this is very doable.
And that's what killed me. Is like he would say that and mean it, of course. And I was just like, okay, if you say so. And because of me, I said, I'm looking at all of this debt. And then that's the one thing everyone just kept saying, oh, man, this is doable. I mean, you know, like, yeah, you have a lot of debt, but you have a little, you know, that's what he said. I think what was the thing is he got me. Like, he could see my spending habits, and he understood, like, okay, like, I understand, like, what type of person you are. You're the type of person that, like, you know, impulsive buyer, shopper. Like, when I want something, I got to have it now, and I want it now. And that's what leads to, you know, me having all these little loans and all these little debts and all this little stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just impulsiveness and, like I said, wanting to fill a void and just wanting to, you know, have something to comfort me at the time, knowing that that's not going to last for long.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got that. He was able to see the big picture, even though I couldn't, of course. But
I always say, well, I'm about to say, I don't see it.
I said,
you're going to stop saying that.
I don't see
yeah.
it.
You're going to stop saying that.
Because when we were sitting and talk about it, I always say this about him, and this is the gift that he operates in. He sees things so differently than the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
Totally differently.
Thank you,
and I always use that analogy is that technology is on like 5G, you know, the phone. He like on 7 or 8G because he sees it so different. The picture looks different. It looks like a cow to us, but it looks like something different to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes it come to life. And he always put people at ease that don't panic, because you can do it. And we sit and we just talk, and he would tell me everything, and we would just go back and forth, and he would just, I mean, you could see the wheels turning.
Mm-hmm.
He just sees things different.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Yep.
I know it wasn't easy, but what I told Rob about you, I said, she's very receptive of what I'm doing. I said, because what I always challenged you was, I was like, I'm not going to tell you what to do with your money.
I'm gonna give you information, right, and you're gonna decide for yourself. Mm-hmm. I said, because no one can stand on you for the rest of your life. I said, I'm gonna give you tools to help you make decisions. So when we start to pull back, you can use those same tools to apply to everything in life, especially your finances. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know sometimes, like, you did what?
Right. There were times.
Because we always say we can't want it more than they want it for themselves.
Right.
If we want it more than they want it for themselves, they're not going to get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we can't want it more. So we were talking, it's like, okay, pull back a little bit until mm-hmm. they want it. Mm-hmm. Then you know you got them. Mm-hmm. When they call you and they texting you and mm-hmm. they like, tell me this, tell me that, then you know you got the attention.
Mm-hmm. Look at that smile, man. Mm-hmm. That smile is big and bright, man. Just your walk is different, man. Your presence is different. Okay, so that was part one. We're going to go ahead and wrap this up. Put my bifocals on here so I can see what I got to read and all these messages. So if you guys just don't know, we do have an app out there. It's called Bags of Money. It's on your Play Store. It's not on Apple yet, but it's coming. It's coming. And you can find us on our podcast at giftedgenerations-llc.com/podcast. That's our website. Don't forget that dash. If you do, I don't know where you're going to end up. Also on Facebook is Gifted Gen LLC. Instagram is gift.gen. YouTube is Gifted Generations LLC. And that is with an S, Gifted Generations LLC. So just a YouTube is there. And my wife has so kindly worked her heart out to get us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Twitter. So all those sorts of things, we can find us on Financiology 101. And then Twitter, she just started that too. She gets all this stuff out there. I'm like, yeah, go ahead and do it, babe. At Gifted Gen 2019. So we're going to wrap this session up.
But my wife wants to say something quick, about the app. The app is a financial app.
Yes.
She kind of lost it. It's a financial app. It's based off of the spreadsheet that
I did with you.
That blessed Melissa and blessing our other clients. So we turned that spreadsheet into an app. So now
that's how I can see what you had down the road.
So Android users can now go and download that and get the same benefits Melissa had in the spreadsheet. You can get it in the app. So and then we're working with the developer to get it in the Apple store. So go check
So quick thing, you always ask me. Remember when I first got with you, I said, by July, you're gonna have this mount in your bank. You're like, what?
Right.
You lost your mind. I said, I'm trying to tell you. By July, you're going to have this amount in your bank account. And it wasn't just a few thousand. It was in the tens of thousands, right? Mm-hmm. She's like, man, you're tripping. I said, watch how it works. So we're going to end it there.
Okay. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Well, thank you for tuning in to our podcast, Financiology 101. I hope you enjoyed this session and the information provided will assist you on your financial journey. Until next time, be financially engaged.